We have been looking from the Gospel of John, and Pastor Aaron from chapter 1 proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of God, and there is no other name or person through whom that we can have these two things, light and life. You want light, you want life, you must come to who? You must come to Jesus. Therefore, come to the light and embrace his life. Chapter 2, Pastor Kara used chapter 2 using the miracle, the first miracle of Jesus Christ, when he turned water into wine to manifest his glory. And Pastor Kara spoke on the glory of God, the glory of God that comes upon us for one purpose, to bring transformation to our life. Glory, God's glory is his weight, means the weight of God comes upon us. What is that weight? It's not the weight of judgment or weight of condemnation. The weight of God is the weight of his character, who he is, his personhood, and his power resting upon us to empower change in our life. Therefore, we must experience his glory. Say amen to that. And not only do we experience his glory, we must become a vessel of his glory in wherever we go, wherever he places us. Show forth the glory of God, who God is in your life. Now we come to chapter 3. Chapter 3, I want to speak on the love of God. In my teenage years, the message was very clear. You don't believe in Jesus, you die, you go to hell. And so people may believe in Jesus because they don't want to go to hell. And I was a teenager. That message doesn't appeal to me. I'm too young to think about death and to think about hell. So what was the message that appealed to me? Was the message of the love of God. And that message was very attractive, especially to me, when you come from a family of 10 children. That's a lot. One more, you could have a football team. And you are in the middle. You tend to be forgotten. How many of you realize that? You tend to be forgotten. And so when I hear the message that God loves me, especially when you are in the middle and you are forgotten, and there is such a great lack of love in you, you suffer from love deficiency. When you heard someone loves you, it becomes a very attractive message. How many of you realize that? And it was an attractive message that drew me to Jesus Christ, that made me believe in him. So, in my journey of faith, I want to share with you three truths about the nature of God's love. The first truth is God's love is connecting love. Connecting love. And this is from where? From verse 1 to verse 12. And it's from what? From outside in. God's love is connecting love. From outside in. Because God reveals his love externally. God reveals his world, his love externally. How? When we see creation and we see humanity. In creation, God did not create the world by accident. It was, you know, intentional and purposeful. And not only that, when God created the earth, he did not leave it alone. He fashioned it and sustained the earth with his beauty and life. So creation Creation, actual fact, showcase what? Showcase the glory of God. Psalm verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1 state this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaim the works of his hand. When you see creation, it expresses who God is, how great God is. It's about his glory and the work of his hand. So creation is an expression of God's external love. The other expression of God's external love is seen in humanity. Human being is the only people they are created in the image and in the likeness of God. And when God created mankind, man and woman, he did not leave them alone. He is not an absent God. He continued to sustain humanity. Humanity. How does he sustain humanity? The air that you breathe is a gift of God. The food that you eat is the providence of God. Every breath that you take is a testament, is a picture, is a decoration that God has an ongoing care for humanity. God, external love, sins in humanity. Jesus reminds us, he caused the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus said, the love of God, external to humanity, rain and sun. Theologians call this common grace. Common grace given to all mankind. But common grace is God's love expressed to all people, regardless of age, status, or race, expressed 24 hours every day, 7 days a week, 365 days without fail. One day, if there is no sun, what would the world be? What would the earth be? Have you ever thought of that? One day there is no sun. If there is no rain, what would happen? So God expressed his external love. Now, when we see the act of God, the act of his love externally, what does it say? God is saying to humanity, look at what God is like. When we see everything, creation is to tell us to look up and see what is God like. God is a good God. He is a good God, you know. So humanity has to respond when they experience the external love of God. To respond. They could respond like the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and verse 4. When the psalmist said, when I consider your heavens and the work of your finger, the moon, the star, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I mean, when you look at all this, God wants us to come to the place that the psalmist said, God, wow, you are so good, that he humbles your heart to recognize that there is a creator who cares about you and loves you. But we know the Bible tells us that there are some who respond instead of worshiping the Creator God of love. They choose to worship what? They choose to worship creation. And you found in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, they trade the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things that God created instead of the Creator himself. Everything that God does externally to express his love is to bring us to a place to say, look at what God is like. And sometimes when we are discouraged, how many of you ever get discouraged? You know, when you get discouraged, you got to go out and look at everything and say, wow, God, you are so good. Have you ever felt that way? When you are down, you think you are alone, go out and look at creation and say, God, I see how good you are. Or they could respond like Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you know, he has something that is in his heart that God has put in everybody's heart. Every creation created in the image and in the likeness of God, God has put this thing in everybody's heart. What has he put? He has put eternity in everyone's heart. Eternity is in everybody's heart that makes a person a seeker. I'm not here by chance. I'm here for a purpose. What am I here for? Because God has placed eternity in every heart. So when man looks at everything that God has done, his external love, he can neither become like Nicodemus, that God has endowed eternity in his heart and in every heart, and that will make him to become a seeker. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was religious, he was wealthy, he was a law keeper, he was an elder of high status in the Jewish community, well versed in the scripture. In fact, he was held high regards in the eyes of men. Yet with all his achievement, he was not a person with nothing. With all his achievement, his being, his doing, his having, and his knowing, they were insufficient, not enough to connect him to the Creator God of love. Eternity is in his heart. God, I see all these things. Who are you? I want to know you. So he came to Jesus at night. And Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And he was, Nicodemus, at that time when he met Jesus, he was about 50 years old. 50 years old, he came to Jesus. And Jesus went straight to the point, spoke directly to his heart. And Jesus said in verse 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is something that must have shocked him. This is something where Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. And to Nicodemus, this is an impossible task. I mean, he remembered when he was in the mother's womb and how the midwife shouted to the mother, push, push, and push. And the mother pushed so hard that Nicodemus came into the world and he had his first cry. Every baby come to the world have the first cry, and the cry said, I'm here. And now, at 50, it is impossible for him, too old for him, to return back to the mother's womb. You see, Nicodemus thought of this. When Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus thought of it as a physical birth. But Jesus was talking about not born of the flesh, but a spiritual birth. Born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, born not of the will of man, but of the will of God. So Nicodemus said, you must be born again. Peter expressed this same idea in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, it's an act of God. It's an act of God. You cannot be born again by yourself. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. So who does the work? God does the work. And how does the work happen? Just one word. In the whole book of John, the key word is believe. If you believe. So when Peter said you are born again, you are born as a new creation, not an extreme makeover. You are born with new life, not self-improvement or new religion. You are born with a new heart and a new spirit. We all need a new heart and a new spirit. Being born again, God give us a new heart and a new spirit. Say amen. The question is, whose heart are you living now? And by whose spirit are you living now? This is why Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Lord, My heart is not a stony heart, say amen. The new heart that God has given me, the Bible says, is soft, is tender, is responsive. So, this is what being born again means. This is what it means to be born again. That when we see the external love of God that is there, we acknowledge Him. We see what God is like. We acknowledge Him. We believe in Him. We accept Him. This experience brings the external love of God that we've seen from outside transmitted to where? To here. This is what Romans chapter 5, verse 5 put in. That God brings His love from outside in. Romans 5, verse 5. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill what? To fill our heart with what? With His love. When your heart is filled with doubt, it's not from God. When your heart is filled with anxiety and worry, it's not from God. The Bible tells us God fills our heart with what? Love. And when there is love, it casts out all what? Or fear. So the Bible is very clear that when you are born again, the external love that we see becomes what? Inside here. That God pours His love. Now last week, we were blessed with the testimony of the Salt and Light and Brother Bruce and Sister Jenny on their journey of what? Journey of connecting love. How God the Father is love, God the Son is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. And how they fill their heart with the fullness of God. When God loves comes to you, it's not bit by bit, little here, little there. When God's love comes to you, it comes to you in what? In fullness and completeness. Later on, I'll tell you why we don't experience that. We don't experience not because of God, it's because of us. So God's love is poured onto you in fullness. Not because you deserve it or you work for it. It's freely given to you because you are born again, born by His Spirit of love as children of God. And this born again experience of God's love flowing from inside out brings change through His power. You were once an enemy. Now you are a child of God. Once unforgiving, but now forgiving. Once fearful, but now fearless. Once defeated, but now you are what? Victorious. This is the power of God's connecting love when you are born again. I experienced that as a teenager. I'm sure that if you have been born again, you experience that. Can I challenge you? Treasure the work of the Spirit of God that have started in you. Don't despise little things. God has started a work and He will continue to work. A lot depends on how you cooperate with Him as we come later on through my sermon. So, when Nicodemus heard about this, he asked Jesus more questions. I'm sure that when you witness to people, some people ask you a lot of questions. How many of you realize that? And some of those questions actually cannot be answered. Why cannot be answered? Some of them can only be answered when you start with first thing, if you believe. So Jesus, when Nicodemus asked him more questions about the new birth, Jesus replied him, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" In simple terms, it means understanding comes only after what? Believe. This is God's promise. You will see God's glory if you believe. But an unbelieving heart cannot comprehend the things of God. Some people have many questions about God. But the only way to know Him is to taste and see that the Lord is good. The only way to experience the reality of God and witness His power over your life is to taste and see that God is good. And how do you do that? It's through connecting love. I believe. Being born again. It's like when I have an orange in my hand, I can tell you how sweet is the orange. This orange is thirst-quenching good. I tell you, when I squeeze it, I drink it, it's like, whoo, I can tell you everything. Unless you taste it, you will never know. You know, I have challenged people before. All I need you to do is to come to church for 10 Sundays, even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. 10 Sundays. All you have to do is just come to church, open your heart, and hear the word of God. And I'm telling you, as I told him, in after 10 Sundays, if you don't believe God is real, I won't ask you to come to church anymore. But the chances is this. People who come for 10 Sundays and just open their ear to hear the word of God will open their heart and know God is real. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. There are many things you cannot answer, but it's only answer to this word called believe, and you will see the glory of God. So Nicodemus, in his first encounter with Jesus, transformed his life. How do we know? We see in John chapter 7, verse 45 to 52, when the Jewish leader was against Jesus, he defended Jesus Christ. Then we see also in John chapter 19, verse 39 to 40, after Jesus was crucified, he went to prepare his body, the body of Jesus, for kingsly burial alongside Joseph of Arimathea. So, what is the first truth about God's love? God's love is connecting love. From outside, it comes in. And when it comes in, remember, it stays in. Say amen. It stays. You don't may not feel it. Sometimes I don't feel love. How many of you don't feel love at times? But I don't. You must not go with feeling. You must go with what His words say. His words say that God pour His spirit of love into your heart. Not bit by bit, but in fullness. So first truth, God's love is connecting love from outside in. Do you understand now? Second truth about God's love is sacrificial love, the cross, from verse 13 to 21. No religion or can claim that God loves you, that God dies for you, that God rose from the dead. The only one that can talk about love is not Buddha. He can't say that. The only one who can say that, no religious figure can assert the truth. The only one who can say that, I love you, I died for you, I rose from the dead, is Jesus Christ. And this is found in verse 16. This verse is very famous. We memorize it and we cherish it in verse 16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. I think we can quote this one even in our sleep with our eyes closed. It's a Bible verse that we all remember by heart. But this is what God's sacrificial love looks like. 2,000 years ago, the God of sacrificial love, the creator of all things, He considered a perfect gift for a creation that was growing for redemption, for humanity that was lost. What can He provide humanity? For His sacrificial love, to be a perfect gift, to be a perfect gift, it must be a gift suitable for all ages, races, generation, and season. A gift that never loses its value, worth, or importance. A gift that cannot be bought, regardless how rich you are. Yet if you are poor, you can still have it. A gift for today, tomorrow, and forever. A gift that is not confined to a safe display in a cupboard, and a gift that has no expiry date. A gift so precious to God that He reveals God's true character. What is God's true character? Love. What gift can I give humanity that will express my sacrificial love? And that gift, the greatest gift to mankind, is found in John 3:16. This gift is exceed all human reasoning, understanding, and expectation. It is a gift not based on perishable things. It never loses its value over time, or is not subject to trend or fashion. This gift is found in a person, His Son, Jesus Christ. As one writer put it, God, the greatest giver. So love, the greatest motive. The world, the greatest need. That He give, the greatest act. His only Son, the greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest invitation. Believe in Him, the greatest opportunity. Should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but have eternal life, the greatest joy. This is what God gives, His sacrificial gift, the best, His all, His only Son, and is given to you. That gift of God not only promises you eternal life. God, you promised me eternal life. That's when I'm dead. How about between now to that time? That gift of God of eternal life comes as what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you what life? Abundant life. And surplus life. And overflowing life. That when God promised us His Son, when He died on the cross, it's not just that we can have eternal life, but right now on earth, we can experience abundant life. There are many gifts. Next PowerPoint. There are many gifts that you will receive in your lifetime. You receive a new car. Today is new model. In a short while, it's an old model. All other gifts will lose its value, will pass with time. But God's perfect gift, His sacrificial gift, the gift of His love, His Son Jesus, will last forever. Will last forever. Because that gift is not just eternal life, but it's an abundant life. And one thing I want you to know, God's gift of eternal life has no expiry date. So He gives us the best gift, the greatest gift heaven can ever give. An expression of His sacrificial love. So God's love is sacrificial love. And as the Bible says, if God will give you His dear Son, what will He withhold from you? That's what the Bible says. So this gift comes at a high cost. Jesus Christ has to die on the cross. Here is where God's word is very clear in verse 13 to verse 15. But the Son of Man has come down from heaven, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. Israel had rebelled against God. God's judgment came upon them. The serpent has beaten them. And Moses, commanded by God, take the bronze serpent, lift it up. And simply, those that look at the serpent will live. So they look, they will heal, and they live. In the same way, God is saying, I have given you this sacrificial love. My son had died on the cross. And if you look at him, if you look at him and see my greatest gift, my greatest love, my greatest sacrifice, if you look at him, you will also what? Live. Amen. This is what Ephesians chapter 5 verse, chapter 2 verse 4 to verse 5. That this love of God is great love. God being rich in mercy, because of his great love, we wish he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, make us alive today with Jesus Christ, with Christ. So, God has given us the greatest gift, his son. Now, from verse 16 to verse 21, it clearly tells us that if God has given us the greatest gift, there is no neutral ground. You neither believe and have eternal life, you know, and or disbelieve and perish. You neither believe and not be condemned, or don't believe and face condemnation. It's neither light or darkness. There is no middle ground. One choice, only one choice and one decision. And that decision is those who believe in Jesus Christ will have what? Forgiveness and eternal life. That is his promise when he gives us his son. So the cost is already paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. The choice belongs to who? The choice belongs to you, to each one of us. Do we want to live in forgiveness and freedom or in sin and bondage? So I believe in John 3:16. Say amen. So if I believe in John 3:16, how would this shape my life? How would I believe in God's sacrificial life shape my life? Here is where we come to the next truth about God's love. Truth number three, God's love is transforming love inside out. Verse 22 to verse 36. I mentioned earlier that when God pours his love in you, it is not bit by bit, here a little or there a little, but in fullness. And the purpose that he poured his love into you, his purpose is to change you from what? From inside out. Every one of us sitting here must recognize God's purpose is to change you from inside out so that you become more and more like who? Like his son, Jesus Christ. Transforming power. The same author that wrote the Gospel of John, that record about you must be born again, also wrote 1 John. And 1 John, he said very clearly, the evidence of being born again is a changed life. Say amen. He said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So the word used is what? Everyone who what? Practice. So if you can practice righteousness, you can also practice what? Unrighteousness. So in the Bible clear, you need to practice. Continue doing it. He's not talking about you being perfect sinners. God, I want to live a righteous life. And I will practice living a righteous life. 1 John 3 verse 9. No one born of God make a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So if you are a Christian, you don't want to keep on sinning. You know it's wrong. You say, God, help me so I don't do it. How many of you can say that? Amen? Because if you keep on, that means the Bible says, very good, if you keep on doing it, it means you're not born again. Because if you are born again, there is a seed that is in you. And later on, we will come to what is the seed that is in you. Then you come to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is from God. And whosoever has been born again, born of God, knows God. So the Bible tells us very clearly, the only reason why we can love one another because we are born what? We are born again. We are born with His seed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So, when we are born again, there is a seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. The power, the life, the goodness, the glory of God is within you. It gives you the strength and the grace to overcome even our faith. And finally, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 8, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Can you say this of your life? God, I'm born again. I don't practice sin. I don't keep on sinning. I want to live a life that is righteous, acceptable by you. The Bible is not talking about sinless, perfect life. You can never be sinless. You can never be perfect. The Bible is not talking about that. The Bible is talking that if you are born again, born by the seed of His Spirit, the seed of Christ that is in you, if you are born again, then you are going to see a change in your life. So, the transforming love of God works inside. Inside out, people can see who I am as a believer. There must be a difference. And here is where the transforming love of God works. In this passage, in these few verses, from verse 22 to 36, is about John and the disciple talking about Jesus Christ. And John gives us a verse in verse 30. And that should be your life goal if you want to see God's transforming love working in you. Verse 30, this is what John says. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. If you want God transforming love to work in you, then you must always have this goal in your life. God, I want you to increase. And I want what? I decrease. When others see you, who do they see? They see Christ, or they see so much of you. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. Not that I discount myself. But he's saying that I must grow less and less of myself and more and more of who? Of Jesus Christ. That growing more and more of Christ and less of you is what we call sanctification. The process of being transformed, growing in the image, in the likeness of Jesus Christ, living in the power of His love, His transforming love inside out. Once I cannot love you, but now I can love you. Once I cannot forgive you, now I can forgive you. Once I was fearful, but now I'm not. Because there's something that took place in my life. There is God's love from outside has come in. He has connected me to His love, and that love has transformed me. That is the power of God's love. You see, some religion wants your eye to blow up. New Age is one of them. New Age will say to you, you are like God. Some religion wants to stuff your eye. Buddhism is one of them. But Christianity don't want to blow up your eye or stuff your eye. Christianity is your eye must die in order for Him to live. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gives himself for me. So the Bible very clearly, for the I to die, I must be crucified with Christ. I cannot die by myself. For myself, I'm not willing to die. But because of Christ, because he loves me, his sacrificial love is here for me, I'm willing to die. So for one purpose, so that Christ may live. And I know the life that I live now, I live by what? By faith in Jesus Christ. He has done the work. I just simply need to obey. He has done the work. So, God wants his transforming love to transform in you. To do that, he doesn't come bits and pieces. It comes in fullness. And it's in you in fullness. But the expression of the fullness is only released when the I reduce. So that Christ increase. This is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. This seed is who? This seed is born of the Spirit, born of the seed of Jesus Christ that is in you, and that seed is the word that is in you. They should be growing and growing and growing, bringing transformation in you. Because this seed is Christ. Every day, every week, every month, every year, the life of Christ increases in you as you decrease. Does it happen automatically? No. You need to cooperate. You need to obey. You need to surrender. So you walk for the Christ to increase in you. You walk as he walked. Christ is your model. He's your example. You know, and you follow his example. You become like him because Christ is the life of faith, the life of obedience. His action pleases the Father. And that's how God wants you to live. God, you connect me with your love from inside. And the love that you have put inside is because of your sacrificial love. You pay everything for me. Now, you ask me to live from inside out with the transforming love of God in me. So, here is the question. Why do you obey him? Why do you keep his commandment? Why do you give up things for him? Why do you love and forgive others? Why? Because you love him. Say amen to that. Because you love him, you say yes. And why you love him? The Bible tells very clearly, the reason we love him is because he first what? Loved us. It all starts with God. It all starts with God working in each one of us. The love of God, the power of his love is connecting love, sacrificial love, and transforming love that works in you and through you. When you allow our team for this year, abide in the love of God by loving God and keeping his commandment to be the heartbeat of your life. God love. Like I said to you, it was the attractiveness of the love of God that draw me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do I obey him? Because I love him. Why do I keep his commandment? Because I love him. Why do I give up things for him? Because I love him. Why do I forgive and love others? Because I love him. It all has to do with loving God. When you love God, you will say yes to him. May I ask this question to you? God's love is seen in John chapter 3. I'm connected to His love. You are connected to His love. I experience His sacrificial love that is in me. Now, this love is transforming me to be like more and more like Jesus Christ. Is His love transforming you? Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You ask me, Pastor Stewart, have you ever thought of giving up when it became difficult? To say no, it would be telling a lie. But I remember the word of Peter when Jesus asked him, would you go like the rest of the guy? And Peter said to Jesus, where can I go? Only you have the word of life. Brothers and sisters, in our journey of faith, there are times that we become discouraged, we feel like throwing in the towel. But it's the love of God, the love of God that holds us, the love of God that says, you are born again. By my Spirit, you are my child. You are my son and you are my daughter. And my love for you is so great that I've given you my son to show my love to you. Right now, believe in me. Hold tight to me. Never give up. Allow my love to transform you from inside out. All you have to do is just, yes, Lord. I don't understand, but understanding will come when you obey. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. This morning, let me ask you, the connecting love of God that has connected you to His Son, that make you a believer, born again, do you treasure it? Do you see its power and its value in your life? I pray that even as you experience His connecting love, that you will say, Lord, do a deeper work in me. Change me and touch me. Make my heart soft and tender as you have said in your word, so that I will obey you. So I will do what is right before your eyes. When we lift our hand to Him, one hand to Him, one hand in our heart. Lord, I ask you right now, I declare that our heart is a good ground. A good ground for your word, O God. That your word, the seed of Christ, the seed of your word has come into our heart. And I ask you, you water those words that's in our heart. That those words, God, will increase in us. So you will bring that transformation, love of God inside out. That we will experience the power of your transforming love. We stand not condemned, but accepted and loved by you. I thank you, Lord, for every heart that is here. I ask, Lord, touch every heart by the power of your love. Let the love of God flow every heart in its fullness so that we can say, I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He will keep what that is committed. I ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll leave it to Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. Shall we stand and shall we respond to the Lord with this worship song?